How do you do, everybody? Welcome to the Hour of Decision Online. And this is Cliff Barrow speaking with my co-host, Bob Sauer, and Albert Swanson at the controls, saying thank you for joining us today. And we pray that our program will be a special blessing to you. Howdy, Bob. Howdy, Albert.
Hello, Cliff, and thank you. It is a wonderful joy and delight to be here with you once again. The Bible teaches that one day all of history will come to an end, that Jesus Christ is returning.
Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let anybody fool you. Nobody knows when this will take place, but we do know it will take place.
And that's a source of great hope to those who have trusted their lives to Jesus.
This is no pie in the sky hope. This is no pie in the sky religion. It affects our daily life here. It affects our attitude in every phase of life. When we live with hope and expectancy that there is a future, this is not the end.
After Billy Graham's message, his daughter Anne Graham Lotz asks a personal question.
Have you been wounded by the deceit and dishonesty of others? Have you been disappointed at the injustice and unfairness of people from your past or your present?
Anne shares biblical wisdom on how to respond right after her father's message, The Climax of History, here on Hour of Decision Online. Cliff, that message comes from the Greater Chicago Evangelistic Crusade held in 1962. Could you tell us a bit about that crusade?
Oh, yes, Bob, and I tell you, let's listen to the choir singing Coming Again, and then I describe McCormick Place. So here we go with John Peterson's song, Coming Again.
Magnificent and a fantastic auditorium. It contains, that is the entire facility here at McCormick Place, contains 36 million square feet. And we were told the other day that the roof area of this building is large enough to contain the White Sox ballpark, the Cubs ballpark, and Yankee Stadium, all three of them. They also told us that if we stood at one wall right here where the platform is, and hit a baseball and it bounced off the wall on just the width of this building, it'd be a home run in anybody's ballpark. Well, we welcome you to this great auditorium, which during the days of this crusade has been transformed into a giant cathedral. And men and women from all walks of life over a 4 or 5 state area are gathering to sing praises to God and to worship Him.
And that was Cliff Barrows from the platform in 1962 in Chicago's McCormick Place. Now, here's George Beverly Shea right before Mr. Graham speaks. Ivory Palaces is his song.
My Lord has garments so wondrous fine, and myrrh their texture fills. Its fragrance reached to this heart of mine. With joy my being thrills. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter the heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal love
Now let's listen to Billy Graham's 1962 message from Chicago about the second coming of Jesus Christ here on Hour of Decision Online.
I want to speak on the subject, the climax of history. And of course, in the brief time that is mine, it's impossible to cover the entire subject. But I want to touch on a few of the high points in the Bible. And I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Genesis, the 19th chapter. Genesis 19, beginning at verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Then I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 48, we read these words. As I live, saith the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord. Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Then we turn to Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 28. The words of Jesus, as Jesus refers back thousands of years to this event that took place when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of their wickedness and their sins, that archaeologists, incidentally, have already found out actually took place. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, Jesus indicates there is a future time, a future event, very much as it was in the days of Lot. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, this is no myth. Jesus confirms that it happened. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. What is the end of history? Where is history going? What is going to be the end of all things? Now, I believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead. He died on the cross, but he also rose from the dead. He is alive at this moment, and the Bible teaches that he is coming back to this earth. You say, Billy, do you really believe that? I would have to tear out great sections of the New Testament if I didn't believe it. The Bible teaches, if it teaches anything, that Christ is coming back. Now, in a sense, Christ does come into the heart of every believer when you receive Christ. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christ comes to live within. The Scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what is a Christian? There are thousands of people today in our churches who at least have their name on the church roll, but who have no deep commitment to Christ. They've never really had an encounter with the living Christ. They've never been born of the Spirit of God. They have never really been converted to Christ. And the greatest need in America at this hour is for Christians to be Christians, for the church people to have a depth in their commitment and surrender to Jesus Christ, to come to know Him as Savior and Lord. And there are many of you listening to my voice today. You belong to the church because it's the social thing to do, or because your parents belong to the church, or you just were almost born into the church. That's all fine and good, but you don't know Christ for yourself. And therefore, in your daily life, there's no real commitment in your business ethics, in your social responsibilities, in your attitude on the race question, and the many other questions that we're to take a Christian attitude toward. And then, in a sense, Christ comes in the person of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Now, the moment you receive Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to live within. He lives in your heart now, if you know Christ. And then, in a sense, Christ comes in the great cataclysmic changes of history, such as the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. He plainly said that. Christ is the Lord of history. He knows where history is going, and he will only allow the devil to go so far. And then, in a sense, he comes at the death of a Christian. When you die, you go immediately into the presence of Christ. If you're a Christian, Christ comes. I remember when my grandmother died, she said, "I see Christ at the end of the bed." And then she leaned up and smiled and said, "There's Jesus," and she was gone. I believe she actually saw Christ. There is a sense in which Christ comes at death, but there is another sense taught throughout the Scriptures that he is coming back at the end of the age. Notice I didn't say the end of the world. Oh, the end of the world system, yes, but not the end of the earth. The end of the age. Christ is coming back again. Now, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And then Ezekiel and Jesus listed some of the sins of Sodom. What were they? Well, the first one that they listed was the false security. The Scripture says, Isaiah the prophet said, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, but look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. God said, why are you trusting in the Egyptians to save you? I could save you if you'd turn to me, but you won't turn to me. We must call upon God, but what do? We have the tendency to run to Egypt for help. Egypt spoken of symbolically, of course. I'm not talking about modern Egypt. All of our alliances, all of the things that we've done to try to save our own skins, that alone will not save us. We have a false sense of security. And then secondly, the sin that they condemned was sinful merriment. Now, the Bible has nothing to say against a wholesome good time. There's nothing in the Bible about having a long face and wearing a black suit all the time. The Bible talks about joy. The Apostle Paul wrote from Rome, where he was in prison, to the Philippians, and he said, rejoice, I say, always rejoice. True joy found in Jesus Christ, peace of mind and peace of heart. And to you that are searching for joy so desperately. You know, the tragedy in America and the thing that makes me every time I come from abroad, I see people in this country frantically searching for joy and happiness. We rush off to a vacation and we come back tired and bedraggled. Oh, yes. Have everything and yet have emptiness of heart. The Bible says even in laughter the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. And then the third thing that Jesus pointed out is they were too busy for God. Oh, they believed in God, those men of Sodom. They had religion. All groups have religion. But they were just too busy for God. Too busy making money, too busy having a good time, too busy in their pleasures to take time for God. Isn't that one of the sins of our day? We have an intellectual comprehension of deity. We have an idea that there is a God. But we're not really serious about getting to know Him.
Are you ready to be serious about getting to know God? You can learn more about how to begin right here. Go to the top of this page and click on Grow Your Faith. Or if you'd rather talk to someone about it, you can give us a call. Our number is 888-7-GRAHAM, 888-747-2426. You're listening to Hour of Decision Online. I'm Bob Sauer, along with the host of our program, Cliff Barrows. Iranian-born American pastor Saeed Abedini has now been in jail in Iran for 3 years. He's serving an 8-year prison sentence for sharing his faith in Christ. Our Mike McLean has an update on his situation from Saeed's wife, Nagme.
Franklin Graham has been a strong supporter of Nagme as she has worked to bring justice and freedom for her husband, Saeed. As he says, she has been
going all over the world to speak and to make people aware.
Nagme had asked Christians around the world to hold prayer rallies on and around September 26th, the third anniversary of Saeed's imprisonment. Just a couple of days after the 26th, Nagme posted on Facebook that prayer vigils had been held in 966 locations in 46 countries. As you can understand, it's been a terribly difficult time for Nagme, but her faith in God gives her great strength.
To be in this hard situation and be able to get up every morning and speak is really God's grace in my life. I can't explain any other way. I feel it. And so it's really by looking to Jesus. That's the only way to do it.
She encourages every follower of Christ to be in the battle to help all Christians around the world who are suffering persecution.
So I just hope and pray that as we're watching our life and the life of the persecuted church, which I think America is becoming more aware of, that it would not just be like, okay, we're going to pray, we're going to remember, but that remembrance is giving us fuel for our own run. I'm going to take my walk with Christ seriously. I'm going to treat it like a soldier of Christ.
She's a powerful soldier for Christ for sure, and also a loving mother who has shepherded her two children through the 3 years of their father's imprisonment. Franklin Graham says we should keep all of them in our prayers.
We pray that God will use this to strengthen their faith. And for Nagme, pray for her, for the strength she needs every day, because not only is she raising her family, but she is battling for her husband. So let's pray that God will give her just a little vision of light at the end of the tunnel so that that hope burns in her heart.
And Franklin adds,
let's remember Saeed, that today God would just surround him with angels and he would sense their presence, and that God would just fill him with Holy Ghost boldness.
You can hear Nagme Abedini tell more of her and Saeed's story in our new program, GPS, God, People, Stories. Look for it under the radio tab at the top of this page. For Hour of Decision Online, I'm Mike McLean.
On this edition of Hour of Decision Online, Billy Graham is teaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus said he would come back at a time that looked a lot like the time when God judged Sodom. Billy Graham says that includes the sins of Sodom, like false security and sinful merriment.
Now, the Bible has nothing to say against a wholesome good time. There's nothing in the Bible about having a long face and wearing a black suit all the time. The Bible talks about joy. The Apostle Paul wrote from Rome, where he was in prison, to the Philippians, and he said, rejoice, I say, always rejoice. True joy found in Jesus Christ, peace of mind and peace of heart. And to you that are searching for joy so desperately. You know, the tragedy in America, and the thing that makes me every time I come from abroad, I see people in this country frantically searching for joy and happiness. We rush off to a vacation and we come back tired and bedraggled. Oh, yes, have everything and yet have emptiness of heart. The Bible says even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. And then the third thing that Jesus pointed out is they were too busy for God. Oh, they believed in God, those men of Sodom. They had religion. All groups have religion. But they were just too busy for God. Too busy making money, too busy having a good time, too busy in their pleasures to take time for God. Isn't that one of the sins of our day? We have an intellectual comprehension of deity. We have an idea that there is a God. But we're not really serious about getting to know Him. We're not ready to pay a price to be on good terms with Him. And then there's surfeiting that was mentioned by Jesus. Surfeiting, that's overabundance, gluttony, if you please. Then another thing he mentioned was idolatry. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search us out? We are an idolatrous people. Then another one was greed. Greed. Another was irreverence. I could go on with sin after sin that was listed as the sins of Sodom that are today our sins. Now, what happened to Sodom? The Bible tells us that the wrath of God rose and rose and rose until one day the dam broke and the wrath of God fell in fire and brimstone upon Sodom, and the men of Sodom were wiped out. Now, God had warned Sodom through Abraham and Lot, repent of your sins. God never brings a judgment without warning. God gave a warning. And as the judgment was about to fall and God saved Lot, and let me tell you this, those that know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are going to be saved. The Bible teaches that we are going to be saved when the judgment comes. God saved Lot out of Sodom, and on the way out of a dying city and a dying world that was under judgment, it was already too late, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back and was turned to a pillar of salt. Jesus said to you and me, remember Lot's wife. And some of you Christians, yes, you have come out of the sins of the world, but you look longingly back. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We are not to partake of the evils of the world. We're to live in the world, but we're not to partake of its evils. Well, you say, when will Christ come? When will these things take place? Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let anybody fool you. Nobody knows when this will take place. But we do know it will take place. How will Christ come? 1 Thessalonians tells us, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yes, there's going to be a resurrection. All of those men and women in graveyards that have died in Christ will be raised. And the scripture says we're all going to have a reunion in the air. What a glorious day that's going to be. I live every day in anticipation that today may be the day. And to those of us that are in Christ, there is no judgment. The great white throne judgment will not be ours. Because the scripture says on the cross, Jesus Christ was judged for us. He took our sins on the cross. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He took our judgment. Therefore, there is now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. What should you do about it? In view of the fact that Christ is coming, in view of the fact that the world is moving toward judgment, what should be your attitude? What should you do? Jesus tells us that too. He says in Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour that your Lord comes. The scripture tells us we're to look for that blessed hope. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Are you tired? Discouraged? Disappointed? Comfort one another with these words. Christ is coming. When you die, that's not the end of it all. The sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be ours yonder. And then in 1 John 3:3, he says, secondly, purify yourself, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In other words, this is the greatest incentive to Christian living I know anything about. One of the answers to the church problem today is to start emphasizing the fact that Christ may come and we'll start living as though he were coming. What an incentive to purify ourselves to live for Christ. This is no pie in the sky hope. This is no pie in the sky religion. It affects our daily life here. It affects our attitude in every phase of life. When we live with hope and expectancy that there is a future, this is not the end. And the Bible tells us that we will come before God, that you will come before God one by one, alone, to give an account of your life and to give an account of what you did with Christ. What decision are you going to make? Yes or no? Will you receive him or not? And then lastly, Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The scripture says, prepare. Jesus said, be ready. Are you ready? But suppose all of these climactic events that are yet to come would not happen in your lifetime. What about that? The end of the age will happen for you. The moment you die, that's the end for you. As far as this life is concerned, and then you face God. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet God? How do you prepare? Jesus made the great preparation on the cross for you. But now you must respond to God's love and mercy and grace. What must you do? There must come a time in your life somewhere, sometime, when you repent of your sins. That means that you acknowledge that you've sinned, that you're willing to give up your sins, and by faith you receive Christ into your heart. That could take place right now, at this moment.
And as he gave the invitation, he reminded the people that Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And it is our prayer that as you've listened to this program, the Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart, and you will pray this sinner's prayer after me, inviting Christ to come in. So pray this prayer after me and ask Jesus to do that right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross, the way of the cross that leads home. I need to come home. I need to trust you. And I do right now invite you to come into my heart. Help me to repent of my sin. I trust you as my Savior. Come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake, and help me to follow you in the fellowship of the church. In your wonderful name, I humbly pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cliff. If you just prayed with Cliff, or if you'd like to learn more about what it means to receive Jesus by faith, we have some helpful information for you. Just click on Grow Your Faith at the top of the page. You can also call us at 888-7-GRAHAM. That's 888-747-2426. You're listening to Hour of Decision Online.
Marie's grandson, Michael, was shot and killed by a group of teenagers when he was only 19.
They were in his house, and they were so-called friends, and we never have really gotten the full details on it.
That type of uncertainty is incredibly painful, but Marie takes comfort in one very important thing.
He had come to Christ before he died, about 6 months before.
Still, the kind of loss Marie experienced raised understandable feelings.
Why did this have to happen? Why did it have to happen to me?
Marie's response to those feelings?
You just have to pray to God to just get you through it. It was in God's plan, and you have to believe that. That's how you get through it.
Marie suffered a profound loss in her life, but she survived it and found comfort in faith. That's proof positive that Jesus Christ will get you through anything if you trust in Him. There's more at billygraham.org under Grow Your Faith, billygraham.org.
In his message today, Billy Graham taught that the end of the world for you will be the day you die, and you need to be sure you're ready. Now his daughter Ann Graham Lott says you can't be ready while holding on to bitterness or resentment.
Have you been wounded by the deceit and dishonesty of others? Have you been disappointed at the injustice and unfairness of people from your past or your present? Don't let them inflict the ultimate wound at the end of your life when you discover your life has been wasted, shriveled, less than God intended, because of deep-seated bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Defiled, wasted. So, confess your anger and bitterness. Let go of your resentment over the way you've been treated. Let go of your offense with God because He allowed you to be wounded. Listen to me. Forgive the wounders. Reach out to bless them. Embrace all that God has for you from this day forward. Enjoy being free. Free to move on. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Cliff, Ann just taught that God wants us to let go of bitterness and anger and to experience freedom. When people have disappointed and hurt you, how have you been able to forgive and move forward?
Well, it comes through several things, Bob. One verse that I love to claim is 1 Chronicles 28:20. Be strong and courageous. Do the work. Don't be fearful or discouraged by the size of the task. For Yahweh God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. For He it is that will see to it that all the work is finished correctly. And I love that verse in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. A wonderful verse and a command from the Word of God, and He alone enables us to do that.
Amen, Cliff. It is so good to remember that we have been forgiven of much, and so we can forgive as well. And we thank God that He uses the work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association to share with people all around the world how they can experience God's forgiveness. And you can contribute to that work through your prayers, through your financial support, or even through volunteering your time. Learn more by going to the top of this page and clicking on Give, or make a donation over the phone if you'd rather by calling 888-7-GRAHAM, 888-747-2426. I'm Bob Sauer, along with a host of our program, Cliff Barrows. Thank you for being with us for this edition of Hour of Decision Online. We'll be back with a new edition of the program on Sunday. In the meantime, Cliff, we're always just a click away here at hourofdecisiononline.org.
We surely are, Bob, and we want to say, may God's blessings surround you today as you trust Him and walk in His way. May His presence within guard and keep you from sin. Go in peace. Go in joy. Go in love. What a joy it's been to be with you today. And until we have this privilege again, goodbye, and may God's richest blessings be yours. The Hour of Decision is brought to you through the auspices of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always, my dear friend, good news.